Our scripture reading for this morning, our second scripture reading, is taken from Isaiah. And we are in what is known as the second Isaiah. Isaiah is divided into three parts and three different time frames. And this section, the middle section, is one that is filled with goodness, filled with God's promises, and filled with the almost pleading to live a life that's worthy of God, to live a life that gives you joy in God, to know that God is going to be there every step of the way. And so we read from Isaiah, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in right food. Incline your ear and come to me, listen, so that you may live." That says life, but it's live. "I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love with David." See, I made him a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the peoples. "See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that you do not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you." May God bless the reading and the hearing of all of our scripture today. I love the way this starts. "Ho! Hey there!" Years ago it was "Yo!" You know? Scripture writers were the same way. They had their little expressions. The writer of Isaiah there is trying to get your attention. Hey, you! You want milk? You want wine? You want bread? Come on, buy it. No, not at the grocery store. At God's holy temple, at God's feet, come. The food that I'm talking about is much better than any food that you'll partake in your bodies. This is holy manna. This is holy goodness. This is much more satisfying than anything that you're going to eat around your tables. Although, we know that we have many good cooks in this church. This food is even greater than the greatest of our cooks here in this church, for it is God's food that we feast upon. And what is God's food? Scripture, the word, prayer, the meal, family, friends, holding hands with those that you love unconditionally, holding hands with those that you do not yet know, that come from other nations, and are eagerly coming to you because they know that you have a gift for them. And what is that gift? God. What is the greatest gift you give anyone? God. What is the greatest thing you can show? Mercy, kindness, compassion, God. I realized this morning as we were starting to do the pastoral prayer that there's something about me that I haven't told you. Well, there's quite a few things about me I haven't told you yet, but I don't know how many of them I'm actually going to tell you. Anyway, as trust builds, you know, we'll see about that. But one of the things about worship that you didn't know is that for me, I learned 27 years ago that my week starts during the pastoral prayer. Does that sound strange? That's the middle of worship in almost every service. Very rarely do you find a pastoral prayer at the beginning of the week. It's in the middle of the service. So why is that the beginning of my week? Because Jesus says that we are to bring all of our burdens here and leave them here. And that we are to pick up Christ's burden, which is light and easy and filled with joy and filled with good things. That we are to eat and to drink and to prepare to go out. And for me, that happens during the pastoral prayer. As we pray for those who have needs, as we begin to pray for those who need forgiveness, which is usually me and maybe thee also, as we pray to do better in this week, to ask for God's presence more and more fully in this week, there's a movement there. It's like we're repenting all over again. We're turning again. And what comes after for me is the beginning of next week. It's one of the reasons I wanted to make the change in the worship service. Because for me, that time comes right there, and the next thing that I should hear is God's holy word, the scripture reading. And then from there to go on and hear preaching or teaching. So for me, somewhere amidst all of the prayer, I start a new week. And it's not with great big bells and whistles. And you know all on Facebook how you see everybody, when Friday comes, they put all these great big, oh, it's Friday! You know, yay, thank God it's Friday! Thank God it's Friday! Well, so many of us these days work right through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But honestly, that doesn't really have much meaning anymore. We still see it through the signs, oh, Monday, you know, and you've got this enormous cup of coffee, and you're kind of like this, and oh, gosh, it's Monday. I don't feel that way. I don't feel that way. For me, when we move from last week to this week, it's almost seamless. It's the start of a new week. It's the start of a new chance. Yes, it's the reminder that I can do better in the next days that are coming. That should give me hope. That should give me wonder. That should give me a feeling of, oh boy, I get to start all over again and try and get this pie right this time. And I get to leave all that stuff behind. Now, some weeks, I might not want to leave so much of it behind because some of it was really good. I can take that joy into the next week. But a lot of times, there's fatigue, there's been issues, there's been words, there's been stuff. So leave the junk. When I was young, my Uncle Doug, on Sunday afternoon after church and the family meal at noontime, my Uncle Doug had a ritual of cleaning out the car. Summer, spring, autumn, fall, winter, you know, desolate days, it didn't make any difference. He cleaned out the car every Sunday. He got all of the little pieces of gum wrappers and, you know, candy wrappers from his daughters, and he got all of the Kleenexes and the, you know, used up stuff, and he got all of the pieces of paper that were given to him that he'd thrown in the car as he was traveling around. He'd get everything out, and so it was empty and clean. My dad asked him one time, now I was told this, I was not there. My dad asked him one time, why do you do that on Sunday afternoon? And Doug said, that's the way I start a new week. Empty and clean. So that then God can fill me up during the week. Okay. So think about, what is your vessel? Is it your car? Is it what you drive around in? Is it your home? Is it your kitchen? Is it your study? Is it the church? Is it a teaching classroom? Is it where is your vessel? Well, first of all, here is your vessel. we need to start clean and let God fill us up. That's what we come to church for. Good, rich food from the Lord. Not just from me, but from the Lord. A sweet, tender word that said, the sound of an infant in church. The joy of seeing one another, the hugs that we receive. The communion table that we gather, around which we gather. The taste of the juice on our tongues. These are the things that should fill us and prepare us. This is the good, rich food of God. And then, when we leave this place, we're ready. We're ready to go out there in the world, and we want to share that. Now, you know, we may not take a communion tray out there with us, or we might. But we may not take that out there, but we can still take the feelings that we have about Jesus' sacrifice for us. We can still take the love that Christ has for us. We can still take the promise of our baptisms. We don't think about those every Sunday, do we? Some of the sweetest, best food we receive when we are baptized, we are cleansed, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. That should be one of the days we're the most full of good, rich things. And yet, we forget. We forget from day to day. By tomorrow afternoon, you won't remember what I said here today, except that I just said that you won't remember what I said here today. Because I've said it now three times, that you won't remember what I said here today. Well, did you know that you can always go to God for a refill? That God's refills are free, just like God's sacrifice was free. Did you know you can go to your scripture? You can read the same scripture over and over again. For the week, you could make that your week's texts. Or you could read a different scripture. You could pray the Lord's Prayer each and every day. Or you could add prayers around the Lord's Prayer and finish with the Lord's Prayer and start your new day. Just like you start your new week here. There are so many ways for you to eat good, rich food of God. Use your imaginations a little bit. Do you honestly think that the creator who brought the tree frog on the wheel rim of Pam's car is not creative? Do you really think that the creator of aardvarks and ants is not creative? And there's an awful lot of good, rich food out there for us to delve into and enjoy. So, I plan on doing quite a bit of eating this week. Not necessarily the physical, because I could do with a lot less of that, but rather upon the spiritual food, which will keep me feeling blessed and enriched in God's. Anybody want to join me? Let's pray. Almighty God, we get stuck on food that really isn't that good for us a lot of times. We get stuck on newscasts or radio broadcasts or even books or newspapers that are so negative, that are so destructive. And yet we can't even spend 5 minutes reading your word. Even when the pastor gives us scriptures to read that are good food and nourishment for us, we are selfish people, Lord. Please forgive us. And this week, let it be a time of new beginnings. A time of good, rich food from you. Let all of us who are so hungry for good news and hope come to you gladly. Come to your table so that we can be fed by your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you don't all have to go home and clean out your cars. Although if you want to,
if anybody wants to clean out my, oh no, it's not, that's not that purpose with it. Our hymn of invitation this morning is "All Who Hunger, Gather Gladly," number 419. Let us stand and sing.